Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
A vice president.
Ooh.
I think we're supposed to salute you nowadays, right?
No. No.
Okay, we won't. We won't. We won't. We won't. All right. Hey, we got a lot coming up going on. Again, the calendar events are getting long because we do so much this time of year. But our 40 Days for Life Fall campaign begins Wednesday, September 24th. This is at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. We're going to open it with the rally at 6 p.m. We've got Ramona Trevino coming in from 40 Days for Life National. She is a former Planned Parenthood manager. And we interviewed her last week. So if you heard last week's interview, you know a lot about her now already, but she's got so much more to tell about her story of coming out of Planned Parenthood and how 40 Days for Life affected that. So very, very powerful stuff to hear. So we'd love to see you out there Wednesday, September 24th at the Mega Planned Parenthood at 6 p.m. And then shortly after that, on October 6th, Monday evening, will be our Life Banquet. And we have Angela, this guy is exciting to listen to. He is, he's how many kids does he have? He's got a quiverful, to quote
Kurt, a gaggle Scripture. Of children.
He's an evangelical Christian with a whole bunch of kids, and he and his wife. And he does active sidewalk counseling in Tennessee, and he was arrested. He was involved in a rescue at a Tennessee abortion facility, but he did not violate the FACE ordinance, the federal FACE law, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, which so many others had been put in prison for. But this happened when Trump was in office the first time. But then after Biden came to office, the Biden Department of Justice decided to go after him under the Ku Klux Klan law from the 1860s or 70s on a conspiracy charge. And so he was found guilty for that conspiracy. And it was President Trump this time around that pardoned him. So it's a very, very compelling story. But we also have a lot to tell you about all the good things that God has been doing through our ministry this past year. And it's been a long time, many years, since we've had so many very exciting things that God is doing. So we're excited about sharing that. So get your tickets. Go to plam.org/banquet. You can sign up, get your tickets, and join us.
And say hi to us. I want to meet people who listen to this show every weekend.
There you go. Angela will be there.
Say hi.
I know everybody would rather meet Angela than me, and I don't
blame
them. So.
No
so,
way.
Yes,
you're
we'll make sure Angela's we'll make sure Angela is available for anyone that wants to meet and talk with her.
You know what, Brian? This is also going to be a markedly different year because my husband is actually coming. I know Brian has joked in the past that he doesn't think Lars is real because he's just working so much, and so I usually do a lot of things by myself with the kids. So yes, Lars will be, there. So you will get to see my husband in
very
his fancy, fancy new suit.
Oh, really?
Well, he bought it last spring, but, I'm going to make him wear it because it was expensive. We're going to get some use out of that thing, you know?
Okay. I got to tell you. So I've got a formal, ministry photo that was taken for ministry purposes a couple years ago, and the jacket I'm wearing is at least 25 years old. So because I'm looking at stuff from 22 years ago, and there I am wearing that jacket. So it's been around the block a few times. But if you buy conservative, get the most juice out of it you can.
Yeah, so yeah. Exactly.
So I'm excited. I'm excited. Lars is going to be there. So okay. In all fairness, you're right. I kind of, because he wasn't coming to events that you were coming to and so forth. But then I'm at a men's conference this past spring. And I sit down, I don't know if it was lunch or snack break or whatever it was, but I'm sitting at a table And he comes and sits down next to me. And I didn't recognize him at first.
I forgot about that. That was pretty good.
But I do know he exists. So I no longer make that claim. If I met him, I saw him. There he was.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, a little embarrassing because I didn't recognize him and I should have. There he was.
He didn't care. I mean, he figured. I mean,
Come join us. Come join us for October 6th, banquet Monday evening. Again, plam.org/banquet. You can get all the information. You can find out more about our speaker. And of course, you can sign up, get your tickets, all that stuff. And it's at the Earl Brown Center way up in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center area, right off Highway 100. So it's fairly easy to get to from around the Twin Cities. And it'll be a very good evening. And then we also have coming up our next sidewalk counseling, our sidewalk ministry training seminar. It'll be Tuesday, October 21st. This is from 7 to 9 p.m. It's going to be at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park, but you do need to RSVP to attend. And so we ask that you either call the ministry office at 651-771-1500, or you can go to plam.org/events. Find the training and click on that, and you'll get right to it. So if we do need you to register, and this is for anybody that just wants to even learn more about what sidewalk counseling is. It's also for everybody that goes out and wants to be there in prayer support for sidewalk counselors, so you understand what the sidewalk counselors are intending to do, what they're trying to do, and so forth. You can better understand that. And then we do require this if you're going to become a sidewalk counselor. So it's a great training evening for people to attend to. And then lastly on our calendar for 2025 is going to be Caroling for Life, Saturday, December 13th. We're going to be at three locations. The one that's definitive will be the Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. The other two locations we're still determining based upon who will be killing babies that morning. But this is a very life-saving thing to do, singing these amazing hymns of God that we call Christmas carols. They're so beautiful and they're just so fitting. So we got all that going on. So come join us and be a part of all these different things we do. And we'll keep going forward with the goodness of God and saving lives, saving lots of lives. So I think we have documented the same number of babies saved so far in 2025 with 3.5 months of the year left, practically, that we did all of last year.
I just think that's so exciting. I am so thrilled with the way that our updated training has impacted our sidewalk counseling. It was just, it's amazing. You know, God is so good.
That and a more of a call for prayer going on a regular basis. And not that we didn't always make a call for prayer, but we've kind of bumped that up too. So yep. We know God answers prayers. Amen. I know Jacob Fry, mayor of Minneapolis, doesn't believe that, but we do. So we stick with it. Well, the big news this past week, lots of it. Actually, a lot of big news out there. But the first one we'd like to talk about is here right at home in Minnesota. Unprecedented. Governor Walz has decided to run for a third term. No Minnesota governor has ever won a third term in the state of Minnesota. In fact, I'm not sure anyone has ever run for a third term before. And so this is a remarkable situation that we find
remarkable is a nice way to put it, Brian.
Well, I'm trying to be good about this. I've got another candidate for office we need to talk about, and I'm going to have to be remarkable in how I say that as well. But let's start with Governor Tim Walz, first governor in Minnesota history to sign a bill to allow abortion for all 9 months of pregnancy, first governor anywhere in the United States. This is coming from MCCL's information. First governor anywhere in the United States to sign legislation that allows newborns to be denied life-saving medical treatment.
He's so wicked.
He put infected COVID patients into nursing homes. We had one of the highest percentage of COVID deaths in nursing homes in the United States. He signed legislation to wipe out funding to pregnancy resource centers that were really helping women. They still do, but without state funding. He signed multiple bills to hike Medicaid reimbursements and payments to abortion facilities and to pay for abortions directly. He made Minnesota, they use the term destination state. I don't like that term, but it has become a, you know, this is, we're purposefully encouraging women from all over the country, especially the 5-6 state area around us, to come and have their abortions in Minnesota. We've created a safe haven, if you want to say, for abortionists. It's become a free for all, and on and on and on.
And this is just on the life side, the life issues side of things. I mean, we're not even talking about the rampant fraud and all of the other things that have been going on. I actually am astonished that he thought this was the right time to announce that he is running again, given the Feeding Our Future scandal that's going on. It's wild to me. Even leftist outlets are reporting and saying, I'm not sure this is a good idea for Governor Walz. You know, it's just crazy.
And just what we would call real liberal outlets, because there's a difference between the leftists and the liberals, if you really get into it and understand
classically
that.
Liberal,
classic liberals are pretty good people usually, though they may be wrong on many issues with
they're
us.
They're fairly conservative by today's standards.
Yes.
Overton window has shifted.
Yeah. But, you know, those outlets are all saying this is wrong. They're just saying it straight up. You know, there's a reason why governors don't run for a third term in Minnesota.
He is delusional. And after his last defeat, I'm not going to be as nice about it as you are, Brian. I can't when it comes to something like this. This is crazy. And he's not the only crazy one, though, as we will get into.
Well, and let's go to the other side of the aisle. Let's go to the Republican side of things. And running for governor for the second attempt is Dr. Scott Jensen. And, you know, he built a name up. Scott Jensen built a name up during the COVID era for his stand against a lot of the COVID things that were being done by Tim Walz and by the federal government and things like that. He came under fire by the medical association or the whatever it is here in Minnesota.
Medical board, yeah.
Yeah, the medical board. There we go. Because he was trying to give out ivermectin and things like that. He was speaking. He wasn't speaking the party line when it came to the medical community's onslaught of what we should do about COVID. And so he gained a lot of favoritism among conservatives and party favorites from the Republican end of things like that. But there are some serious problems with this man's positions, especially on abortion. And Angela, I don't think he can make this up. This is so bold-faced, it's unbelievable. He came out with a Facebook reel, one of those videos, where he is talking about scripture. And that he goes and he quotes scripture after scripture after scripture. And he finds all the ones that fit what he wants to fit in various books of the Bible that are verse 4:14 of each of these various Bible books that he goes into. So, you know, chapter 4, verse 14, from this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, all saying that's me running for office, right? The problem is the man is I would call him a classic Bill Clinton pro-abortion candidate.
Well, he's a sycophant. I think, and a lot of politicians are. That's not unique to Scott Jensen. I am particularly, this one really grinds my gears, because I was one of those people that was like, wow, look at this guy standing up against the establishment, risking it all. And he was so ambiguous early on. He gave the impression he was pro-life. And then he starts coming out with all this nonsense. Like, wasn't there a commercial he put out where he's got like his grandchild sitting on his lap and he's talking about abortion rights, quote unquote. Am I remembering that correctly?
He was holding a baby of some sort.
Yes, he was holding a baby. Yeah.
And he was trying to explain what his position was without ever really explaining what his position was, which turned off everybody in all directions real quick. But worse than that was, okay, so here's the real clear stuff to understand. Number one, prior to the Republican convention that endorsed him to run for governor in 2022, he told the convener, he told the convention that he would ban all abortions, that he would ban abortions, okay? And then he grabbed a well-known pro-lifer who had no political background to be his running mate. But then, after getting endorsed, and as soon as the Dobbs decision came out clear, I heard him on the Jason DeRusha show saying, basically, it was almost like he was quoting Bill Clinton when he was running for office in 1992, saying, abortion should be between a woman and her doctor. It should be something, it should be rare. It should be,
it's
safe.
Very Planned Parenthood be Casey.
That's the old mantra that was used to get us deeper and deeper into abortion back when we weren't so deep into it. Or I should say politically, before the politicians were willing to come out and openly say they're for all abortions and it's a right and all this other junk. Okay, he deceived the convention in order to gain endorsement. Add to that he now is saying, and I've seen these things on his Facebook stuff like that and so forth, and other quotes from other interviews he's done more recently in 2024 and early 2025, before he announced running again. He was talking about abortion. He's telling the Republican Party it needs to change its position on abortion away from being against abortion altogether, and they need to moderate the position or they can't win elections. And then he goes on to say in other quotes that he is personally pro-life, but public policy should be pro-choice. Again, an old Clinton line. Or an old, we've heard this from so many in the past that are politicians, as they have justified supporting killing of innocent human beings. Why would you be personally opposed to abortion? What's the first reason? Is it because an unborn living human being is being killed by abortion? Or is it because it's just, not so nice and we got to pretend that we're against it? Which is that when you say that? And if it's the first, the former, then you need to be against it by policy as well. You can't be against it just personally. It's got to be.
You have an obligation.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have a conscientious obligation and a moral duty. And
I find it unconscionable that he's quoting all these scriptures while holding such terrible position.
He's spitting in the face of our Lord. That's what he's doing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it today. I don't have it in me. I'm too tired of this nonsense. I've just had enough. It's just such an interesting case study on this capacity that we have as human beings. He's a doctor. He knows full well exactly what happened in an abortion. He can't feign ignorance, okay? And he's seeing which way the wind is blowing, and he's going to adjust his particular position to whatever he thinks is going to be the most advantageous to him in that moment. But it also just tells me he cannot read the room, especially in a post Charlie Kirk America. He can't read the room. He's not even paying attention to what these young people are saying. I mean, these young people, yes, we're extremely polarized right now, but the conservative movement, especially the conservative movement that is up and coming, is unequivocally pro-life. And these people are finding and growing. A lot of that is because they are connecting to their Christianity. They are suddenly seeking God for a generation that has been raised irreligious or completely atheistic entirely. I mean, they are seeking, and they're seeking the truth. I think we largely underestimate. I think because there is a lot of nihilism, I would say, like Gen Z, there is quite a bit of nihilism, but that also has been the catalyst for a lot of them seeking more, right? When you are a nihilist and you believe that nothing is worth anything, it's a really awful way to live. And they're thirsty for the truth and they're thirsty for Christ. And so watering down Christ's message is not going to be beneficial to you in the long term. That's why Charlie Kirk was so powerful. That's why he was a force to be reckoned with, was because he did not water down the gospel. He may not have fully grasped the gospel in its entirety, but he didn't shy away from it. And that is commendable. And I think even young people know that they can respect somebody who is not afraid to speak exactly what they believe instead of waiting for the most opportunistic time to profess whatever it is that is going to be most well received at that moment. He can't read the room. Tim Walz can't read the room, especially after his horrible election cycle with Kamala Harris. It's just laughable. What is going on in the political landscape here? We keep thinking it'll get better and it just hasn't. What is going on?
Well, and maybe just a couple quick last thoughts about this whole thing. Governor Walz, during his run for Vice President of the United States, finally, the news media broke through and started asking the questions about his lots of multiple deceptions since he's run for office, going all the way back when he ran for Congress the first time. So those things, which our local media had just ignored as if they didn't happen, suddenly became national spotlight. They're not going to go away in this election. They're still going to be there. And then on the Scott Jensen side, let's not forget this man worked for Planned Parenthood for a while, and he is yet to give a real, proper, credible explanation for that, other than he claims that it was a quick and easy way as an intern to get a lot of pap smears in because he needed to do that without ever apologizing, without recognizing that it was wrong to have ever done this.
No accountability.
He's got a tie to Planned Parenthood to some degree somehow still, that he has yet to say, hey, no, I don't anymore. I apologize. Right. I shouldn't have done that. He doesn't do that. And there's a lot of questions there. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues to go forward. You know, we got some other big news out there. The National Institutes of Health, the NIH, has announced that it will not renew 17 grants for research that involves the use of human remains from aborted babies. Praise God.
Amen.
So finally, they're going to cut off the money that's going to the human fetal tissue research being done at least 17 different projects around the United States. I know this is happening at the University of Minnesota. Overwhelmingly, we know that it's happening at the University of Minnesota in one of their departments, and I believe one of these grants is theirs. And so cutting off the funding, though it may not stop the research entirely, it's certainly going to have an impact. We're hopeful it stays that way forever. So I wanted to kind of swing back both to Charlie Kirk's assassination and the shooting at Annunciation Parish during Mass, meant to target the kids at school. And just a couple things I think that are good to understand. First, there is here in Minnesota, out in Eden Prairie this past week, a group of people decided they were going to have a prayer vigil in honor of this man, and protesters came disruptive, screaming and yelling, profanities and obscenities, and the whole nine yards, and of course scurried away just before the police arrived. But still, you know, disrupting. There was a point where they asked for a moment of silence, and that's when they started screaming the most.
I think they're possessed.
Well, okay, but now this is what I wanted to point to a little bit. And I know we're looking at this, I'm looking at this through the lens of being on the sidewalks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We see the same thing. It's in a smaller scale. You know, it's not the big, huge monster scale that this nationally known individual had, just here in Minnesota, But we see the same type of thing going on where we've got people who are so committed to the killing of unborn children and to the transgender stuff that is Planned Parenthood as well, that they come and scream obscenities and profanities at us from time to time. And they tell us, you know, we're doing something different than we do. Mm-hmm. Did you know I hate women?
Yep, you are quite the misogynist.
It's a surprise to my wife, but anyhow.
Me too. I've been doing a radio show with you for almost a decade, but I learn something new every day.
And I have no compassion. I was told that by a clinic escort out of Planned Parenthood a couple weeks ago. You have no compassion. I just spent the last hour and a half while this woman was there trying to reach out and call out to women saying, we've got free help available for you. We can help you with anything. There's my big non-compassionate line that I use.
You're kind of a jerk.
Well, thank you.
Stop being such a jerk.
I should be more compassionate, I guess. But, well, I should be. I mean, everybody should be more compassionate.
A salty Angela this morning. I'm so sorry to our listeners. This little...
So I've also been told that when I got hit last year in the face, that I failed to follow scripture and turned the other cheek. But the reality was, is I had turned the other cheek in the first place, which is why the guy hit me. So, oh well. But you know, you just, some things you just got to laugh about a little bit and so forth. But I just, you know, there's and then the Annunciation. Well, you know, we got people who are losing their jobs over their heads exploding over Charlie Kirk's death, or over how people are responding positively, trying to pray, trying to reach out, trying to help, trying to be good over the death of this young man. And so even like we just talked about the people that came out to protest a prayer vigil, then you've got, you know, as all the way up to this Jimmy Kimmel character, supposed comedian, which I never found anything he ever said.
He's never been funny.
Yeah, but he's very profane.
Yes.
But he got, you know, he had his show suspended. I don't know if it's really canceled. It's suspended. He may have caused it to be canceled because he responded publicly to the suspension, and it was a very terrible rant. So, and I'm not sure that was, you know, those type of things, I'm not sure, right? But there are others, people working in schools, in the government, offices of various states and the federal government and so forth, who came out cheering the death of Charlie Kirk, literally cheering it. And they've lost their jobs as well.
Well,
and so there's something really, things are falling apart in so many ways in our society. And how much more we need prayer, how much more we need God right now than ever. That's what I wanted to get to on that point. And then on the Annunciation shooting, this is just amazing. This one of the moms of one of the children that was in mass when the shooting took place wrote about it a bit. And she said, she basically is saying that evil doesn't vanish. Here I'm quoting. Evil doesn't vanish when we remove its weapon of choice. The truth is, we live in a society unraveling spiritually. And that's a recognition of what we are dealing with in this day, that evil, and I would say we've already unraveled spiritually. We're just starting to recognize it as we see these remarkable, horrible things happening around us. And we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to act. We need to be courageous. We need to be able to stand up boldly. That's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.